Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Colonel Alan West, and then we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with our military history and self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show a fellow retired Army Lieutenant Colonel with combat experience. Alan West has been on the show a lot of times. Since retiring from the Army, he served in Congress and provided leadership in a number of organizations that are good for America. So welcome back, Alan. It's been a while.
Hey, sir. It's great to be back with you. Thank you so much.
Alan, please start by telling us about your time in Mother Army. When and why did you join? What did you do? I think you were a cannon cocker, artilleryman, right?
Roger that. I was a field artilleryman, red leg, cannon cocker. And the reason why I joined the Army is because my dad was a soldier in World War II. He was a corporal. And at the age of 15, he challenged me to be the first officer in our family because my older brother was a Lance Corporal of the United States Marine Corps. He served in Vietnam, was wounded there at Quezon.
Okay. And you started a full career and retired. I don't remember.
Yeah.
When did you retire?
Yeah, I was commissioned 31 July 1982 and retired 1 August of 2004, 22 years.
Okie doke. Talk to us a little bit about some of the other things you have done up to and including what you're doing now. You don't have to cover every boat, but I know you were in Congress for 2 years, and I know you did a couple of other things. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a member of Congress representing Florida's 22nd Congressional District from 2011 to 2013. Also served as chairman of the Republican Party of Texas and ran for governor here in the state of Texas. This election cycle came in second to the sitting governor in the primary. And right now, I'm the executive director of the American Constitutional Rights Union because back in 1982, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and I don't believe that there's a statute of limitations on that oath.
Well, later on in this interview, I'd like you to go into some detail on the American Constitutional Rights Union. I think that's a focus that most Americans need to have and not enough do have.
I'd agree.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. We're talking with Colonel Alan West. Alan, if you noticed, we had an election last Tuesday. Nothing is ever normal in elections, and nobody ever has for sure results at the national level. Talk to us about your perspective of what you saw.
Well, I think it's really interesting, and it continues to undermine the confidence that people have in our elections. When, you know, growing up, I remember Walter Cronkite, you know, Huntley Brinkley, before I went to bed, they would call an election. But we have gotten more technology and all these machines and everything involved, and for whatever reason, we can't get elections right. Can inform the people about what's going on. You know, back in 2000, Florida was the, you know, the brunt of many jokes with the hanging chads and everything. But now Florida has, you know, come around and done all the right things. And, you know, look, everybody in Florida knew the results of their election before they went to bed. And that's they corrected over the past, you know, couple of decades. So I think that we need to get this electoral process under control. I don't like the unsolicited mail-in ballots that you have out there. I think that's thrown a real monkey wrench into it. I believe that Election Day should be a national holiday. So the only thing that people should be doing on Election Day is getting out to their polling locations and voting. Or if you can't get to your polling location, you should have submitted for an absentee ballot to be mailed to you. And you get that ballot submitted back in. But we're really having a convoluted time and process. And what I saw happening, everyone was talking about this, you know, Republican wave, tsunami, whatever you want to call it, but it ended up not panning out. And I just don't know if the American people have felt this that we keep talking about with inflation and energy prices, gas prices, food and commodity prices. They're concerned about our border insecurity and as well as a local criminality and all of these things should be touching them because they still seem to vote against their best interests. And so we'll see what happens going forward, but the Republicans will probably have a small majority in the United States House of Representatives. The Senate, I think it'll come down to a runoff election in Georgia between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker in the first week or so of December.
So, as you say, when we were growing up, you knew when you went to bed pretty much all the elections. Now, it'll probably be next week before we know, and maybe even a little beyond that, how everything came out. I know here in Michigan, things went not the way I would like. I know, as you discussed already, in Florida, everything went well. By my standards, I'm a conservative. But the election day is over, and everything is counting and recounting, and there might be some runoffs, and stay tuned. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, that's a fair summary. I think that people need to realize that, you know, your local level elections are so important. Your city council, your school boards, your county commissions are important, because really elections are executed at the county level. And so having the right type of county commissioners in there to have the right processes and procedures and the right type of mechanisms in place. I mean, should we have backup paper ballots? When I hear about machines breaking down and people being turned away, this should not be happening. I mean, one of the basic leadership principles 101 from the military is before any operation, you rehearse that operation. You go over it. You make sure you test your gear, your equipment, and you do pre-combat checks, pre-combat inspections. And I don't see why we're not doing that. The fact that we have people saying they're running out of ballots, they're running out of ink and things of this nature, that does not bode for people to have confidence. So it should not take us, you know, a week to find out what is happening with an election. This should be a very clear turnaround.
I agree with you. And I really agree with your statement that we really, really need to pay attention to local elections, school board, county commission, drain commissioner, all those kind of positions, particularly if a kid's at school, you should know the school board.
Yes.
Those are incredibly important elections. And many politicians start at that local level and then move up. And that's a good time for them to learn how to do things and for us to learn who they are.
That's right. That's building a farm team. I mean, it's just the same as in baseball. You have single A, double A, triple A, and then the majors. Just the same as in a military unit. You don't come in and you're the platoon sergeant, or, you know, you don't come in, you're the company commander. I mean, you got to work up through the ranks, and you got to build your resume, build your leadership capability and capacity. So I think that we have to start looking at doing that, because, you know, we just can't have people that pop up out of nowhere and decide that they want to run for, you know, United States Senate, like we saw in Pennsylvania, where all of a sudden Mehmet Oz shows up and never lived there, really doesn't have any relationship or background with the state of Pennsylvania. But next thing you know, he's running for senator. So I think that we need to have that system by which we can bring, you know, call for that person to come up from that next level down. If you need a right-hander, you go in and, you know, give the symbol for a right-hander, come in there and do a good job for you.
Yes, sir. And the other part is that I've asked people for years, can you name 5 elected officials that you voted for? And, you know, yeah. And president and the governor and maybe somebody local, but maybe the mayor. But, you know, there's probably 50 people you vote for at all the different kinds of positions. And we don't even know who they are. We don't even know the name of the position. So we're clearly not keeping in touch with them. We're not holding them accountable. That's sort of unwise, isn't it? I mean, aren't we supposed to be good stewards of our country and our local government and our national government?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's what Benjamin Franklin said back on Constitution Day, 1787, when Mrs. Franklin in Philadelphia said, "Doctor, what is it that we have, a republic or a monarchy?" He said, "A republic if you can keep it." So we need to have that disciplined and well-educated electorate that's out there that can make the right decisions. But too many times people just make a decision, the name sounds nice. You know, he's been there forever, so I'll continue to vote for him. And they're not really educating on the issues. And I would have thought that in this election cycle, when people are suffering with the high food and gas prices and their dollar is not just going as far as it should. And like I said, the crime issues, the border security issues, sex trafficking issues, fentanyl issues, that a lot of these things would be hitting them at home, but it just didn't seem that was the case. And so, you know, we'll see what it takes to get people to pay more attention to who they are sending to be their representative.
Yes, indeed. We really need people to take responsibility for this gift from God of the freest, most prosperous country in the world. We're supposed to take care of it, not just use it. You know, if somebody gave you a car and you didn't change the oil or tune it up, it won't last that long. You're supposed to take care of it. Okay. Well, there's more to discuss about our nation, and Alan is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Alan and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com, 10% off promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Colonel Alan West. Alan, you mentioned the southern border. You live in Texas. Is that as big a crisis to people who live there as it is here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this whole thing about fentanyl, the human and sex trafficking, you know, every county, every state, every locale is a border community now. And so the 5 million people that we have seen come into this country illegally over the past 2 years of the Biden administration, this is going to touch everybody. The hundreds of thousands of people that have lost their lives to fentanyl, that's not just people here in Texas and Arizona, it's all across the country. So we've got to be very concerned about this. And, you know, the fact that we have people that want to see illegals vote in elections, like in New York, California, several other places, that should be very disconcerting to us as Americans, because we want people to come here to America, but we want them to knock on the front door and come here through our legal process and not illegally. And this is a huge issue. And I don't know if it's going to be curtailed now because you don't have that strong majority in the House, and maybe you'll just still have a 51-49 majority in the Senate for the GOP, or else it'll just stay as it is, deadlock 50-50. So we've got some serious issues with the border. And name me a country that would allow us on board to be wide open and 5 million people just come across into that country.
Well, and anybody who comes in illegally, why would we think they would suddenly desire to be legal and obey the law type citizens? Why would they even have a role model of somebody who knew how to do that?
No, you're absolutely right. They're not. They have no desire to whatsoever, because they know that they don't have to. And, you know, these permisos, that's what they call these, you know, they want you to appear in court. They see that as a permission slip to come into the United States of America. Nobody ends up showing up. And, you know, the recidivism rate, the criminality that's coming in, the fact that we've captured 100 people on the terrorist watch list, well, that tells you there's probably 3 or 4 times as many that we haven't caught.
Okay. Well, yes, sir, it does. One of my other concerns, and I don't know if this is on your hit list, is our woke military. I mean, we're really, really ready to use the right pronouns, but we're not so ready at doing combat. Do you see that the way I do?
Yeah, I do. And it's very disconcerting. And, you know, I'm concerned about what we got going on at our border. It's amazing to me. And I think it has to be rectified and corrected.
Yes, sir. That's an understatement. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Alan West. Okay. You are the executive director of the American Constitutional Rights Union. Mm-hmm. If there is anything that I think, and I taught American government in college for 15 years, that Americans don't know about our Constitution, they don't know what our rights are. I could ask somebody what rights are protected by the First Amendment, and most people couldn't answer the question. Freedom of religion, they'd get that far, maybe speech. Talk to us about the Constitutional Rights Union. What's your purpose? What do you do? How do you do it?
Well, it's an organization that's been around for about 26 years. It was started, founding board member was Edwin Meese, who was Ronald Reagan's attorney general. Robert Carlson was also in the Reagan administration. We're focused on our constitutional rights and defending those constitutional rights. Because right now I see that the emphasis of the progressive socialist left are their ideological rights. And they don't believe that we have a freedom of speech. They believe that we have a freedom of their accepted speech or a freedom of expression, right to petition government for redress of grievances. They don't believe in the Second Amendment right. You hear about all the censorship that is going on. So those are the real threats to this constitutional republic. And so what we want to do is stand up for individuals. One of the critical things we want to make sure is that we're protecting our vulnerable voters, because there's a lot of concern about what's going on in our senior living facilities, memory centers, with abuse of our seniors and voter fraud. So that's been a big thing that we've been working on in this election cycle, and we'll continue to work on it.
When you say you work on it, what do you do? How does your group, who do they work with? How do they do that?
We work with local activists, and we create an awareness. One of the great partnerships that we have developed is with the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC, which is the conservative response to AARP. And again, we're working veterans issues. We have created a sub element called the Committee to Support and Defend, which is a constitutional conservative veterans group to talk about the issues such as, you know, the shot mandates and what we see happening with this very woke military. So, you know, we work with activists. We get up there at the Capitol Hill. We write a lot of issue papers, articles. I do a lot of speaking engagements, of course, across the country. So it's about the awareness, and it's about making sure that we can rectify these things and educate people on the Constitution.
One, how can listeners plug into the Constitutional Rights Union?
It is theacru.org. You can just Google the American Constitutional Rights Union, but the website is theacru.org.
And how about the Committee to Support and Defend? Is that plugged in there?
Absolutely. You'll see that. That's one of the drop downs on that website.
So this is a vehicle that's already available. And I'm guessing, I know a lot of Americans who are concerned, upset, but don't know what to do.
Well, we can help you do that.
So if they plug in, you can give them things to do, letters to write,
absolutely,
groups to join, things to follow up on, places to do research.
Yes,
you're a vehicle for that. That absolutely is something that's so absolutely vital for our country right now that I can't think of anything more important.
It is critical.
Alan, take a minute right now and sum up with the key points you want us to remember from our conversation today.
It's a republic if you can keep it, and the American people have to get engaged and involved, not just in election cycles, but every single day to educate and inform not just only themselves, but those around them about the importance of the longest running constitutional republic that the world has ever known.
That says it. And we got to do something, not just think, not just gripe. I'm good at griping. The trick is you got to get work so that it changes. It won't change if you don't do something. Thank you for these vehicles, the American Constitutional Rights Union with the Committee to Support and Defend. That's awesome. Alan, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your continuing service to our nation. I'm proud to call you friend and brother. We have to
absolutely
stay in touch.
God bless you, sir, and take care, and Army strong, airborne.
Airborne. I really appreciate Alan West. The man doesn't know how to stop working. And he was in a rush today, so I let him off the hook a little bit early. But he's a great role model. He served in our military. He served in Congress. He's volunteered and he's run a whole bunch of different things. He didn't mention them all. I think it's his modesty. This guy does not know how to not serve our nation. And we need to use him as a role model. We need lots and lots and lots of people like Alan West. If you're looking for somebody to role model, Google Alan West and find out about him. But he's a combat veteran. We didn't serve together. I'm a generation older than he is. He served in combat. He's done things to make sure that his people came back safe. He's creative. He knows what he's doing. He's a great guy. So I just cannot say enough about my friend Alan West. Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. That's going to be interesting. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I really appreciate getting input from you on what you'd like us to talk about. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back, and I've got a lot of things I want to talk to you about.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. And as you know, it's football season, and it's time for our football co-host Quentin Roberts and I to review last weekend's Service Academy football games. We were a little bit at odds with each other this past weekend, but it was an interesting weekend for Army, Navy, and Air Force, wasn't it, Quentin?
Off we go into the wild blue yonder. Flying high.
You know, I keep trying to correct him. He keeps calling it the Air Force song. It's the Army Air Corps song.
I am still on a cloud, Denny. I cannot deny it. As the Falcons reclaim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy for the first time since 2016, hats off to Troy Calhoun and the Falcon football team for bringing our trophy home in its rightful place.
And they took it away from Army, and that really annoyed me. And you know something? What really bothers me is that Quentin's happy that I'm unhappy.
Well, I mean, Denny, it really is nothing against you. It is really all about the Falcons. And, you know, I've been really critical of them this year and the fact that they were 5-3 going into the game, moved to 6-3 and 2-3 in the conference because we expected them to be Mountain West champion contenders this year, and they just have not lived up to that billing. And but yes, Air Force did score an exhilarating 13-7 tight ball game against Army West Point in Dallas, Texas, to earn their 21st Commander-in-Chief's trophy with a 13-7 win. It was on CBS. The game started early. Then I think it was 10:30 a.m. Central Time, but it was really a second half type of affair, as in the second quarter, Army went up 7-3 over Air Force, and Air Force came back in the third quarter with a Hazeek Daniels 17-yard touchdown run, and they added a field goal in the fourth quarter to go up 13-7, and then they just leaned on the defense, and Army's offense was just unable to really amass anything of substance. As Air Force, we look at the tail of the tape, Air Force outgained Army total yards 324 to Army's 145. They even outpassed Army 98-67. But the real basis of this victory came on the ground as the defense held Army to only 78 yards on the ground, while the Army Diesels paved the way for Brad Roberts and the running attack to the tune of 226 yards. 135 of those yards came from Brad Roberts on 33 carries. Hazeek Daniels added, I think it was Daniels rushed for 89 yards and threw for 98 yards. And David Cormier, he was a highly touted, recruited wide receiver, hauled in a career high 4 receptions for 89 yards. So it was look, Air Force beat Navy 13-10. They beat Army 13-7. I guess the first 1-13 in these games wins. But you know what? It was a great time. I was in attendance there. It was just a wonderful time. I'm going to give a shout out to the class of 1988 who showed up and showed out. And it was a tremendous time. And one that really, you know what, Denny, somewhat reinvigorates your pride in both the academies and what they stand for. You know, we talk all the time about how these students, by and large, are not there to These are true student athletes. They're not looking at professional careers. They are going to serve our great country. And there's some great young men and women who are going to do that. And being around them and even some of the old guys and gals this weekend, you know, just really was good for my soul anyway. So, and the victory was just a cherry on top. So that was the Air Force Army game. Again, a really tough fought game. And, you know, they'll go back at it again next year as they do each and every year.
Yes, they do. And while you were at the Army Air Force game, I was at the Navy Cincinnati game with my brother-in-law, an Air Force grad, watching his son, a Navy midshipman, at the game. So therefore, Navy, like Army, played well, but not well enough to win.
You know, Denny, the story of the season for Navy is we have seen improvement, slow but steady, but they've got a tough schedule. You know, and so these teams that they're playing really do not allow for what I'll call incremental improvement. They're looking for someone who's already there. So, yes, Navy fell to Cincinnati on the road, 20-10. Navy falls to 3-6 on the season, 3-4 in the conference, while Cincinnati moves to 7-2 overall and 4-1 in the conference. Cincinnati's quarterback, Ben Bryant, completed 25 of his 35 pass attempts for 299 yards and 2 touchdowns to lead the Bearcats to a 20-10 victory over Navy in front of 38,459 fans, plus Denny and his wife. That means 38,461 at Nippert Stadium. The crowd was the 9th largest in stadium history. Coach Niumatalolo said after the game, "I'm proud of the way we fought today. We're close, but we're not there yet. We have a really young team, and we are going to keep fighting." And that was indicative of their effort. When we look at the tail of the tape, it was Cincinnati outgaining Navy 354 to 260. Still, that was a decent showing. Passing, again, they threw for 299 to Navy's 84. And Navy did rush for 176 yards to Cincinnati's 55. Navy dominated the time of possession, 33 minutes to 26 minutes. And they were 6 of 14 on third downs compared to only 3 of 11 for Cincinnati. So again, they're playing good football. You know, they just have to get over the hump. And I tell you what, at the end of the season against Army is going to be another dandy. You cannot count Navy out. As we look at the scoring in this game, it was 6-0 Cincinnati, you know, as Navy held them to only 2 field goals after the first quarter. After the second, it was 13-3 as Navy got on the board. But that last touchdown is when Cincinnati really put it away. They went up 20-3 in the third. Navy came back with a touchdown. I'll call it garbage time with 1:14 left to go in the game. But it was a classic 16-play, 75-yard drive, you know, and that's the kind of drive that can give you momentum as you move forward. In particular, in this game, Navy leaned on Xavier Arline, who was the backup quarterback, as Ty Levitai is out for the season due to an injury. And so, you know, Navy's breaking in a new quarterback as well. So tough game for the mids, but again, they're looking forward, but the schedule does not get any easier.
Amen. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Quentin Roberts about Service Academy football. Okay, Coast Guard and Merchant Marine?
Well, Coast Guard Academy fell to WPI 30-24 in a double overtime thriller, and the Merchant Marine Academy also fell to Springfield 27-13. Tough weeks for those, but they do finish up against each other on November 12th.
Okay, this week, Army at Troy, Air Force versus New Mexico, and Navy versus Notre Dame. Whoa, I think we can say Navy's going to have a tough game.
Well, they're an underdog by 16.5 points by the Irish, who are 6-3 on the year. So that will be a tough one. And again, you just need to see progress from the team. Air Force goes against New Mexico. They are favored in that game by 22 points, as New Mexico is only 2-7 on the season, 0-5 in the conference. And Army goes against Troy. So that one's going to be a tough game, as they are already bowl eligible. They've won 6 games on the season. And so that's going to be a tough game for Army. But, hey, the Black Knights are known to pull out games like this. It is at Troy.
This weekend will be interesting games. Thank you, Quentin. Thanks for your insights and for being part of the team. We'll be back next week to see how good our guesses were.
All right, Danny. Hey, enjoy it, partner.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? And once your ranger ready, then stand at ease. Troops, America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or by Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, former Army Ranger Pete really enjoyed the celebration of Veterans Day. It's good that our citizens continue to recognize and honor veterans. It wasn't like that when his dad returned from Vietnam.
Agreed, Pete. Our nation does a good job of recognizing our veterans now. We need to keep that a part of our culture.
And Tom's son recently finished Navy boot camp. Boot camp was a lot different than when he went through it. He's proud of his son, but concerned about the training.
Tom, you should be very proud of your son and very concerned about the training. Do communicate your concerns to your congressmen and U.S. senators. We got to do something about it. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip.
Well, on 15 November 1777, during the Revolutionary War, after 16 months of debate, the Continental Congress, sitting in its temporary capital of York, Pennsylvania, agreed to adopt the Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union. Not until March 1st, 1781, would the last of the 13 states, Maryland, ratify the agreement. The Articles of Confederation were the legal document that bound the colonies into a single nation. But the Articles created a very weak central government, so weak that they were ultimately replaced by the Constitution.
That's it. We had a country, but it was a country because we agreed to work together through the Confederation.
And now we need to get back to the Constitution.
We need to send some people to Washington who've actually read it. Okay.
Yes.
On 14 November 1863, during the Civil War, President Lincoln approved General Ambrose Burnside's plans to capture the Confederate capital of Richmond, Virginia. But it was an ill-fated move, as it led to a disastrous Battle of Fredericksburg on December 13th, which the Army of the Potomac was dealt one of its worst defeats under the hands of General Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia.
And on 18 November 1863, President Lincoln boarded a train for Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, to deliver a short speech at the dedication for the Cemetery of Soldiers Killed during the battle there on July 1 through 3, 1863. The address he gave became perhaps the most famous speech in American history, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
And it is certainly one that everybody's heard about. I even memorized. It was a great speech, and his final words were, "The nation will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it will never forget what they did here." I think he got it backwards, but it was a great speech by a great president. And on the 15th of November, 1864, during the Civil War, Union General William Tecumseh Sherman began his expedition across Georgia by torching the industrial section of Atlanta and pulling away from his supply lines. For the next 6 weeks, Sherman's army destroyed most of Georgia before capturing the Confederate seaport of Savannah, Georgia. His plan was, approved by Lincoln, if we can make the people of Georgia, not the soldiers, but the citizens suffer, they will vote to stop the war and end it. That was the concept, and apparently it helped.
And on 17 November 1941, Joseph Goebbels published in the German magazine Das Reich that, quote, the Jews wanted the war and now they have it, unquote, referring to the Nazi propaganda scheme to shift the blame for the World War onto European Jewry, thereby giving the Nazis a rationalization for the so-called final solution.
And it didn't exactly work, and I'm glad because my parents, my mother's parents, are German Jews.
Hmm.
And on 15 November 1957, in a long, rambling interview with an American reporter, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev claimed that the Soviet Union had missile superiority over the United States and challenged America to a missile shooting match to prove his assertion. The interview further fueled fears in the U.S. that the nation was falling behind, perilously behind, the Soviets in the arms race. But we weren't.
Well, it seems like there's always one radical leader like that out there, isn't there? And on 16 November 1961, President John Kennedy decided to increase military aid to South Vietnam without committing U.S. combat troops. Kennedy was concerned at the advances being made by the communist Viet Cong, but did not want to become involved in a land war in Vietnam. He hoped that the military aid would be sufficient to strengthen the Saigon government and its armed forces against the Viet Cong. Ultimately, it was not, and Kennedy ended up sending additional support in the form of U.S. military advisors and American helicopter units. By the time of his assassination in 1963, there were 16,000 United States soldiers in South Vietnam.
And his replacement, Lyndon Johnson, sent a whole lot more, of which I was one.
Yes.
And on the 14th of November, 1965, during the Vietnam War, in the first major engagement of the war between the U.S. and North Vietnamese forces, elements of the 3rd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, Air Mobile, fought a pitched battle with the communist main force units in the Iredrang Valley of the Central Highlands. On this morning, Lieutenant Colonel Harold Moore's 1st Battalion, 7th Cav, conducted a Hillborn assault into a landing zone X-ray near the Chu Phong Hills. Around noon, the North Vietnamese 33rd Regiment attacked the U.S. troopers. The fight continued all day and into the night. American soldiers received support from nearby artillery units and tactical airstrikes. The next morning, the North Vietnamese 66th Regiment joined the attack against the U.S. unit. The fighting was bitter, but the tactical airstrikes and artillery support took their toll on the enemy and enabled the 1st Cav troopers to hold against repeated assaults. I'm glad I wasn't in that fight.
Oh, that was my question, Colonel. I didn't know. Were you in that fight?
I've been in some pretty tough fights, but none like that.
And on 17 November 1969, Soviet and U.S. negotiators met in Helsinki to begin the Strategic Arms Limitation Talks, SALT. The meeting was the climax of years of discussions between the two nations concerning the means to curb the Cold War arms race. National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger began negotiations with the Soviet ambassador in America. The negotiations continued for nearly 3 years until the signing of the SALT I agreement in May 1972. Talks centered around two main weapon systems, anti-ballistic missiles and multiple independent reentry vehicles. MIRVs are missiles with multiple warheads, each capable of striking different targets. Whether this made the world much safer was hard to say. The U.S. and Soviet Union essentially said they would limit efforts to both defend themselves and destroy the other. Their nuclear arsenals, however, were still sufficient to destroy the world many times over. The concept was called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction.
And it worked. But who knows what the current war in Ukraine might lead to?
Yeah. And I guess we'll find out, Colonel.
Stay tuned. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, And we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, 66-year-old Donald Ray Surratt Jr. was among two people fatally shot when a gunman entered a Safeway store in Bend, Oregon on a Sunday. In a statement, the Bend Police Department said Surratt attempted to disarm the active shooter in a heroic act for which we're thankful. Surratt was working at the time as a Safeway employee and had served in the Army for 26 years. Surratt was killed alongside 84-year-old Glenn Edward Bennett. The active shooter suspect, identified as 20-year-old Ethan Blair Miller, took his own life after the struggle. Miller reportedly had an AR-15-style rifle and a shotgun on his person. Police also found a sawed-off shotgun and three Molotov cocktail firebombs in his vehicle, along with additional ammunition and what police called digital devices.
Thanks, Colonel. I hate stories like this. Stories where the hero dies. But that's exactly what happened. 66-year-old Donald Surratt, a 26-year-old Army veteran and former combat engineer, attacked an overwhelming force and sacrificed his life so that others would live. If Donald had done this while in the Army, he might have received a Silver Star or maybe even the Congressional Medal of Honor. Just for a few seconds, think about what this man did to protect other innocent lives. He saw the danger and he went on the attack. He didn't cower under a table or head for the back door. He attacked a man 46 years younger than himself. That in itself is amazing, but there's more. The man he attacked was armed with an AR-15, a shotgun, and firebombs. Donald Surratt had only his bare hands and his warrior mindset. In this particular case, it was enough to save the lives of a lot of innocent people inside that store. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to save his own life as well. There is no doubt by anyone that Donald Surratt is a hero in every conceivable way. No one would ever argue that fact. But I can't help but ask one question. If our hero could change one thing and do it all over again, what would he change? I think Mr. Surratt would make sure he was armed on that particular day. I always tell my students, the number one rule to a gunfight is bring a gun. And if you violate that one rule, then your chances of survival go down exponentially. I spend a lot of time trying to convince everyday citizens to get trained and get armed, but the vast majority just don't take my advice. After all, carrying a gun is a nuisance and great inconvenience. It's a pain in the butt to carry a gun, and you'll probably never need it. So why do it? Perhaps you're asking the wrong question. Ask this question instead. How many times does a gun have to save your life before it's worth the inconvenience? Carrying a gun is not an easy thing. It takes a lot of commitment and training. But how much is your life worth? And I strongly suspect that if our hero in this story had it to do all over again, he wouldn't view carrying a gun as an inconvenience, but as a mandatory asset. This Oregonian is a hero. He was brave, and he sacrificed his life to save others. Frontlines of Freedom salutes his bravery and thanks him for his final act of service to mankind. At this time in our history, America needs more and more heroes.
I agree, Skip. I wonder if maybe his employer prohibited him from carrying one.
You know, and Colonel, that's usually the case. The lawyers get involved in the corporations and they just ban all self-defense.
That's crazy, and particularly as things are getting worse now. Okay, our movie of the month is Mr. Overton. This amazing guy, Richard Overton, passed away in 2018 at the age of 112. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month. You'll love this thing. I'd appreciate getting your comments when you see it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, General Jerry Boykin will discuss his book, Strong Courageous. It's a call to men. Then Army vet John Tellier will discuss his role in the Army Ranger Association and how his company, Jetco, can help you. Then we'll cover this weekend Surface Academy football games with Quentin Roberts, and we'll discuss the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase this book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. Be a great Christmas present.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.